So turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 37. And let's just take a breath for a second. Amen. I need a breath. Okay, Acts 4, verse 23, he says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, had the people of Israel, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of his things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace," remember that phrase, "great grace was upon them. Nor was there anyone who among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they were distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostle, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Father God, we just come before you. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that I know the Spirit of the Lord is already moving in this place. I pray, Father, I come against the spirit of darkness that would try to bring any kind of confusion. God, I bind the devil from this place. I pray the Spirit of God would move unhindered today. And God, I pray, Lord, that you have the key to every person in this room. You have the key to their heart. And I pray, God, let the Word and the Spirit unlock that heart today so that the Spirit of God can go so deep into our lives, minister the great grace, God. Minister great grace to each and every one of us. Let the Word of God be in our hearts and our minds, God. Help us, Lord. Lord, just do a mighty work in us. We need the Spirit of God today to take this message and to open up our hearts with it so that it falls on good ground. God, I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For those of you that's watching on Facebook, we welcome you. We meet new people almost every week that says, "I've been watching for some time now," and we don't hardly ever address Facebook, but it's good to know that the message is going out and people are being ministered to. So God bless you. Hope that you tune in, especially for those that used to attend with us all the time. We still miss you, and I hope that this touches your heart today. I titled this message, "Lord, Send Me." Almost every person that I prayed for today, I believe that God's got a word for you. And so this is a continuation of what we have been preaching for the last couple of weeks. I preached on the book of Acts years ago, and so I went back and pulled my notes and looked at some of the sermons, and I thought, I am not preaching anything even remotely similar to what I preached years ago. And that doesn't mean that years ago it wasn't from God and it wasn't inspired by God. It was for that time. But today the Lord has a different word for this body. I want you to receive that today, because the Lord is, He's going deep. And God is doing something in this congregation. And so we just want to say yes, right? Let there be a yes in your spirit. So about 2 weeks ago, we talked about complacency in the body of Christ. And from this story, we see that Peter and John were on their way to the temple one day just to do their daily praying. And as they went, there was a lame man by the gate Beautiful who had been lame all of his life, and he begged for a living. And so he was placed there every day. No telling how many people come before him, and nobody ever ministered what he really needed. But Peter and John did not leave their house that day looking for a lame man. They were just on their way to pray. You've got to get this. We don't have a preset agenda. We just walk with the Spirit. And wherever God leads us, whatever He wants to do, we say, yes, Lord, that's what we want to do. They're on their way, and all of a sudden, they see this lame man, and they see more than a lame man. Right? Their eyes caught his spirit. And when he saw them looking at him, he said, will you help me out? Do you have anything to give me? And Peter spoke up, and he said, not what you're looking for. Silver and gold have I none. Like most Pentecostal preachers I know, pulled out his pockets. I ain't got that. But what I do have, folks, I want you to get this. We may not be the wealthiest church in Paris, Tennessee, and I'm sort of glad we're not, because we are not dependent upon money. There's something inside of us that's so much greater than silver and gold, and that's the power of God. Amen. And so if we will just take time and get rid of the complacency, the spirit of complacency that has so filled the churches today. The church is filled with complacency. It's a spirit that we need to cast out of here. And we preached that a couple of weeks ago. But when they saw him, they reached down and they prayed, and they did not heal him. God healed him. And he jumps to his feet. And you would think the whole town would have rejoiced, but it didn't make everybody happy. So the religious people got very upset, and they arrested Peter and John. And that's where our story sort of picks up, where they had arrested them. And they ordered them not to preach like that anymore. You quit doing what you're doing. It's the same spirit that's in the world today. You quit doing what you're doing. It's what the devil is telling every one of us. I don't care if you go to church. That's fine. Go to church all you want to. But the rest of the week, I don't act like that. Don't preach the name of Jesus. Don't speak about Jesus wherever you're at. And especially don't pray for people. See, Satan's not mad about you coming to church. He just don't want the church to come out of you. Right? You are the church, folks. You are the church. So they ordered them to stop preaching, and that was a problem. So the number one thing you need to know, the devil is going to try to stop you with intimidation and discouragement. When you, first of all, he's going to tell you, you don't want to be that way. You don't want people to see you like a religious nut. You know that. Thank you, Jesus. That wasn't in my first service. So the Lord just put that in my heart. Because some of you are afraid of being a little too kooky for Christ. He's saying, you know, you're okay, just maintain status quo. Well, status quo has got us as about as close to hell as we've ever been. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time the church kicked that spirit out and tell the devil, you're not going to intimidate me any longer. And then when you do start doing God, the first thing he does is he tries to discourage you. So he brings that spirit to you. And then we bow down again if we're not careful. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, a very familiar portion of Scripture. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Not that he is a roaring lion, but he's like a roaring lion. In other words, he's got a big growl, seeking whom he may devour. Everybody knows that verse. I find that we don't read verse 9 very often. Verse 9 then says, resist him. You would be surprised how your life will change if you will just resist the devil. They laughed Nancy Reagan to scorn when she said, just say no. Like, we don't have that. We don't have that within us that we can say no. Yes, you do. There's a power inside of you that you can resist the devil and you will overcome. He says, resist the devil. The NLT says, stand firm. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering and are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan wants you to think that you're the only one going through this. And you're not. There's lots of people suffering great things today. That if we would share the testimony of the Lord, if we would share our testimony, we would overcome. And people would get stronger because they said, well, there's a brother that came out of that. There's one over here that went through exactly what I'm going through right now. Peter said, we have to please God, not man. Folks, hear those words. You will not give an answer of your life at the end of time to a man. But you will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day you will give an answer for every word that you speak, for every action. And he says we must be obedient to God. This week I received a word from the Lord through Dustin. He got a word from the Lord and he felt like it was meant for us. And he said, I heard the Lord saying, can revival start out of one man's heart? Is that enough? Ask yourself, is that all that is needed? And the sovereign Lord says, yes, it's all that's ever been needed. All I have ever looked for and all that I look for now is a one man that will say yes. And you think about these people, Nehemiah, who said yes. He met intimidation and discouragement through Sanballat and Tobiah. Gideon, who was hiding, and God says, oh, mighty man of valor. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He raised up Peter. He took Moses, the great stutter, and made him a great deliverer. Billy Graham, in our time, we got to witness what God could do on a man's life. A man of integrity, a man that preached the word of God that is still respected today because he said yes to the Spirit of the Lord. A.W. Tozer, Charles Spurgeon, and the list goes on. And I just want to say today, maybe your name's supposed to be on that list. See, I find that what we're doing today in the house of God is we find anything about us and then we disqualify ourselves. Moses said, I can't be the deliverer. I'm a stutterer. And God said, it is not about you, Moses. Aren't you thankful? This guy just got out of prison, out of jail. And he may be thinking, well, God, I've done so much bad, you can't use me. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. There's alcoholics and former drug addicts. There's all kinds of people in here that's got a past. Matter of fact, there's not one person in here that doesn't have a past. But God took you out of the pit. And you need to quit disqualifying yourself. I'm not smart enough. Or I don't have the financial means to do this. I can't do this because of my personality. I'm just not bold enough. It is not about you. It's about Jesus in you. God is looking for a man or woman that will say yes. There was a prophet in the Old Testament, book of Isaiah. It's all about the statesman. One of the greatest prophets that I think ever lived was Isaiah. In the first five chapters of that book, he is prophesying. God is using him and he is prophesying. But in chapter 6, we see a change. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And the Spirit of the Lord somehow come and dwelt in that room. And all of a sudden, this prophet Isaiah was taken into the inner chambers of God. I don't know how else to say that. And what did he say? Oh my, woe is me. You ever get in God's presence and all of a sudden you feel your humanity, right? We feel everything that we've ever done wrong upon us. Oh God, I am unclean. Isaiah went a little further. He said, I'm clean, I'm unclean, and I dwell among a people that's unclean. And all of a sudden, God sent the angel of the Lord who swooped down to the altar, swoop, swap, whatever he did. He flew down there. He picked up a coal from the altar. And he brought it and he put it on the tongue of Isaiah, showing the cleansing. Hallelujah. Folks, you getting that? Everything that you are disqualifying yourself for, God can cleanse. You hear me? God can remove that. So let's not disqualify ourselves anymore. I'm telling you, God is looking for some people that are saying, here am I. Send me. That was Isaiah's words. Here I am. Send me, God. And what did God do? He raised up the greatest prophet of the Old Testament that they ever had. One of the things that we see in this chapter is when these guys got back, the first thing they did is they got together and they said, you need to know what's going on. Let's testify, right? Saturday, we're going to go out on the streets, and when we come back, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to gather in the room, and you'll hear testimony of what's happened on the street and the other people. Come on and testify. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I said this morning, if I had been writing that verse, I would have put a period after the blood of the Lamb. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Eric would say, put a period there. But the Holy Spirit says, no, don't put a period. Put right the rest of the verse. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. This might be part of the problem, is we love our life. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to lay down some comfort to see what God will do with your life? I'm hoping that I'm conveying what's in my heart today. I'm telling you, God is calling us. I hope that you hear that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we've been discussing some of this on Wednesday night. Listen to this out of the NLT. He says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved. Do you hear that? I'm going to go on. But you just need to comprehend that. God does not disqualify anyone. God is not saying, well, no. Oh, yeah, you. I'll save you. That's man's reasoning. Why? Because we're looking on the outside, but God's looking on the heart. Some of the people that look the toughest have the softest hearts, and God wants to reach them. If the church would only speak up. He says God wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom from everyone. The day that God was calling Paul into the ministry, it's Acts 26, verse 18. He begins to speak a verse into his life. Verse 17, the last few words, he says, I now send you. When God calls you, he will send you. He may send you across the street. He may send you to Kroger. He may send you to the store to witness. He may just say, just go over there and tell that lady that God loves her. When all of us are thinking, oh, I don't want to go to Africa, God, I can't say yes to this. Maybe God's not calling you to Africa. Maybe God's just calling you to your neighbor. But it still takes a yes. And he says, I now send you, listen to this, because this is exactly what the Lord is calling us, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. God is sending us to open their eyes. We get so frustrated at worldly people doing worldly things, but I want you to know they're walking in darkness. And they're not going to see until we show them. God needs a witness on this earth, and he's chosen the church. The Holy Spirit will free us from people, from the fear of people, and retribution, so that we will speak his word. Many of us are afraid of what people will think. Who cares? You will not answer to that person. You will answer to God. With all the talent that I gave you, what have you done? What have you done with what God put in your hands? That will be a question that he will ask us. I want you to know that the most confident people in the world are still filled with insecurity. They cover it well, but every one of us have this insecurity in us, so that we don't think that we're able. We don't think that we're capable of serving God in that manner. We are all saying, God, send someone else. Send someone more talented. Send someone who has a good grasp of the English language, where they don't say swope, swoop, swap. Gotta be somebody smarter than me, God. Oh, jeez. I didn't even see Arthur in here. I wouldn't have said that if I'd seen Arthur. You listen to me. It's not about you. You hear me? It's really not about you. God is not looking for your ability. God is looking for your availability. He says something like this in 2 Corinthians. We have this treasure. You hear me? I wish if there's anything that I could do today, I would that the Lord would open your mind and let you understand what's inside of you. We have this treasure in this earthen vessel, that the excellence would be of the power of God and not of us. Every one of us, he refers to us as a fragile vessel. I like to term it like this. We're all a bunch of crackpots. That's all we are. We're crackpots. And the pots leak out. And that leaking is going to get on someone else. And those cracks in your earthen vessel is going to let the light of Jesus out. But it's not about how good you look. You hear me? It's not about how good you speak. It is about the power of the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. And Jesus is saying, I need you to say yes. I will allow you to shine through me, to use me in any way that you want to use me, God. So I take all the agendas that I've ever had and I say, lay them at your feet. God, let's start over. Now, what do you want me to do? You know, we need to teach our kids that. Before they're 40. When they're 15 and 16. I've got an opportunity this week. I've been called again to speak to this camp that's outside of Paris, to talk to 13 to 16 year old boys. Count that a great honor. And so I'm speaking Tuesday, and I feel like the Lord wants me to speak this sermon to them. Lord, what do you want? Before I go to college, before I go to technical school, before I screw my life up, what do you want? Because God, I recognize it's about you, not about me. I really don't have much to offer you other than availability. Do you realize how powerful that is? So that people can't glorify you. See, if there's something great about you, they'll lift you up. They'll see right past Christ and they'll want to elevate you. You cannot let that happen. We must always point people to Christ. Because your influence can only go so far. But the influence of God Almighty can take people through the worst storms of life. And they're coming. You hear me? They're coming. The storms are coming. It's only a matter of time. But God, with God's help, we'll get through it. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says the place was shaken. They were just together, sharing the testimony of the Lord. And all of a sudden, God inhabited the place. Why? Because the name of Christ was being lifted up. There wasn't nobody praying for revival, but all of a sudden, revival broke out. Why? Because Jesus was being exalted in the place. If you will lift me up, I'll draw all men near. The Bible says the building was shaken. Now, and they began to speak in tongues. The power of the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Many of these people were the same people on the day of Pentecost. What was happening? It's not good just to be filled one time. You need to be refilled. I'm telling you, we really are crackpots and we really do leak out. And if you're trying to operate on what God did to you in 1957, you're as dry can be. You just don't know it. We must stay under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not a once and done. It's a every moment of the day I need Him. If you think that you can have the right words to speak at every opportunity, you're just mistaken. That takes the power of the Spirit of God. But God wants to take your word and season it with salt so that you become a refreshing to people. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were being refilled. And I love that verse that said, great grace was upon them. Great favor of God. You want some of that? Man, I want that. I want the favor of God in my life. How do we get there? Number one, you walk in humility. It cannot be about you. You must humble yourself and pray. They were humbled. They recognized that God on them was doing this. And we can't heal a crippled man, but God did through us. We can't meet people's needs. We can't heal their hearts, but God can through us. So we stay in that position of humility, allowing God to use us. They were humble. They were calling on the name of the Lord. They were walking in unity. Did you hear that? Did you see that line? They were totally in unity. They were taking care of God's business. What's God's business? He cares for people. So they were caring for people. The widows in the land were not going without. Why? Because the church was there before Social Security. How dare we be dependent upon a nation, a government? It was never meant for the government to take care of people. It was meant for the church. I hear this all the time. I want to go to a New Testament church. No, you don't. Because the cost is great. You hear me? They were coming and selling property. They were givers. See, we want the good part. We want the power of God. Just as long as it doesn't cost me too much. It will cost you your life. Are you willing to lay it down? Because what he puts in store is so much greater. Your life with you in control has this limitation on it. You hear me? You can only do so much. But with God, God removes the limitation. He removes the limitation of your education, of your intelligence, of your finances. I think that was two words put together, but you got it. God removes that limitation. Your color of skin. In many parts, that would limit you. Not with God. Male or female, that doesn't limit you. Oh, it may limit you in some parts of the body of Christ and some parts of the world, but God said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy.
Right.
I'm telling you, God is looking for availability. Who will say yes is what he's saying. Will you say yes, Holy Ghost? Here am I, send me. And then watch the power of God do something so great in you that it blows your mind. So when you go back to the old neighborhood, Stephen, they'll barely recognize you. Why? Because you don't look like you used to look. You don't talk like you used to talk. Why? Because you ain't the man you used to be. You're a man of God now, a redeemed man. He reached in the pit, and God saw something worth rescuing. Not just in Tevin, but in every one of us. When the world washed its hands of you, when the world said, that ain't worth nothing, God says, it's redeemable. Hallelujah. Man, that's good. Are you hearing that? That's redeemable. I don't care what your life looks right now. He says, you're redeemable. Wait till I get through with you, the Lord says. People won't recognize you anymore. That's prophetic. I'm into the prophetic nature. Some of you may not identify that, but that ain't me. That's the Spirit of God speaking through me. It's a word for you. And I'm wearing myself out. Next week, if I bring oxygen up here. They were givers. They were testifying of God's faithfulness. They were outdoing each other, trying to build up and encourage. To the point that this guy, Joseph, they changed his name. They said, you can't be known as Joseph anymore. You're Barnabas. Son of encouragement. Man, I'm telling you, thank God for the encouragers in this body. Oh, I'm telling you, listen to me. We have way too many dream squashers in the body of Christ. Don't be stomping on other people's dreams. It may look impossible with you, but you ain't judge. You're not the resource that we're looking for. We look to God. And if we're limiting people, that's on us. That ain't on God. So God maybe placed something in someone's heart, a dream of becoming something, of doing something when they were 6 years old. And they screwed their life up in every way that they could. And now they're 50 years old and they're saying, am I redeemable? And God says, yes, you are. Come on. Come on and get it. Come on to Christ. I will show you great things. Hallelujah. This is so deep into my heart. They had bold preaching of the word. They not only preached the word. I don't know if you got this in scripture, but they preached repentance. You know, it's a word that we don't even like to talk about. Folks, we live in a nation that needs to repent. Amen. Turn to God. Psalms 115, verse 1. He says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, come on, but to your name give glory because of your mercy and truth." You see what he's saying? It's not about me. It's not about you. But unto the Lord be mercy, be glory rather, be the glory and honor. God wants to you, if you're hearing anything I said, God wants to use you. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't give him lip. Don't say, I'm not. He knows what you are. He created you. And there ain't another one like you. And for some of you, I think, amen too. In other words, you are created unique. I didn't want two of you. He created one of you. But now he wants to put the power of the Spirit in your life. You know, really, he wants to put it in your belly. You know, right? Right? You read those? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. See, we walk according to the flesh many times, talking about the God of our belly. We serve the belly. You can see I have served the belly quite a bit in my life. But God says, I'm going to put my Spirit in you so the river of life will flow from your innermost being, your belly. I know a man that he's so remarkable. I love him so much. Church Christ pastor. He's retired now. And I know him very, very well. And this guy, he just always had the right words. And no matter where you were at, see him in the hospital, in the funeral homes, he just always had the right word. And I remember asking the Lord, how does he do that? And it ain't him. You hear me? It ain't him. It's not him, excuse me. It's Jesus. So you can limit yourself all day long, but let's not limit God. But God needs a body. God needs your body. When you get in the presence of God, and Isaiah was there, and he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And God cleansed him. God took the coal from the altar, put it on his lips. Why? Because there was a work that Isaiah had coming. Are you getting this? And God needed Isaiah to say, here I am. Send me. I'm asking you the same question. Will you say, here I am? You might say it like this. I ain't much. But if there's anything you can use in this old hunk of flesh, send me. Would you stand with me? I need you to do something for me today. I need you to step out in faith and answer that question. Don't do it because you think that's what the pastor wants. You only do this if you're being honest with the Lord. But if today, if you have felt the Spirit of God calling you to a deeper commitment, I want you to step out of that chair. I want you to come and line up. We're not going to take time to pray for each one of you. This morning the altar was absolutely packed. But it's your testimony, your faith, that you're saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to change our world. And He's going to do it through you. Think about what you're doing. As you step forward, you're saying yes. Yes, come on in. Just keep coming on in, guys. Just push in. Push someone out of your way if you need to. Just push on in. Sing that chorus, Dreamer.
If it's bandaging the broken or washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree, here I am, Lord, send me. And if I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you.
Those of you that I prayed for at the beginning, if you're down here, I want you to know that's what I meant. God's got answers for you. God's getting ready to do something with your yes. I don't, folks, I looked at my notes over this exact portion of Scripture. It had nothing to do with this. I'm telling you, Jesus has a word for the body of Bridge of Hope Church, and it's all about you surrendering and saying yes. God is going to do something mighty. I'm not worried as much about the town as I am about your life. God wants to change us. God wants to use us. I believe right now, under the sound of my voice, there's powerhouses. There's people that have the word from the Lord. That God is saying, I need to hear your yes. You hear me? I need to hear your yes. Let's pray. Father God, I come before you today and I have delivered the message that you laid on my heart. It had nothing to do with me and it was not my message. God, but I delivered it the way you gave me and they are responding to that message, God. They are saying, yes, the Holy Spirit. They are not disqualifying themselves any longer. They are recognizing it's not about us. It's about the Spirit of God in us. And Lord, we say yes the same way that Isaiah said yes. Here we are. Now send us. Use us. Do something mighty with us. I pray right now for the power of the Holy Spirit to inhabit us. Put that treasure in these cracked pots, God, so that the excellence of the power of God, Lord, it will shine and everyone will know that's not them. They are the uneducated. They're ordinary people, but they've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. We know the power of God. Change our world. Change our home. Change our husbands. Change our wives. Change our kids. Change our grandkids. Change Paris, Tennessee. Change Tennessee. Change America. Change our world by the power of the living God. God, we submit ourselves. We submit ourselves to your calling. God, we say yes to you. We're not even for sure what all that's going to mean. But hear us, God. We are sincere. We say yes to the Spirit of God. Use us. Use us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Dale, are you still here? Dale Miller, there you are. Would you mind ending with a blessing?
He's been speaking a lot about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, because I've experienced it myself, when you say yes and you step out in that, when you don't have the power, that's when the Holy Spirit will fill you and He will equip you to do what God has given you the power to do. Because I can say that for myself and what He's called me to do. When I've taken that step, I don't feel nearly adequate. But when I go, and when I don't know the next step, the Holy Spirit fills me, and He gives me the power. And so I just encourage you to do that same thing. Remember what Treva announced for the ladies and for Street Reach this Saturday. I encourage you to come. That's the first opportunity that you have to say yes, to step out of your comfort zone and do what God's asked you to do. Raise your hand and receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, nothing missing and nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.